Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. I so appreciate being with you today. Just a reminder, things will be changing up for the next 3 days as we continue with our live coverage of the House Intelligence Committee impeachment hearings. Tomorrow morning, 6 o'clock, live coverage from NPR gets underway right here on 89.3 KPCC. And I'll be on with our Air Talk team whenever it's done. We don't know when that is. Almost certainly it'll be the afternoon sometime. We'll be on providing our own analysis, and if we have time, some other topics too, but we simply don't know. So we're going with the flow like everybody else, and that's going to be the plan for Wednesday and Thursday as well. Friday's our typical Air Talk at 10, Film Week at 11 schedule. That's the lineup this week here on 89.3 KPCC. And as for this hour of Air Talk, very pleased to talk about a plan that the Trump administration has put out requiring insurers and hospitals to disclose the actual prices for common tests and procedures so that this would promote competition. The idea being that if those agreed upon prices are made public, that that would be better for the medical consumer. But of course, there's a lot of complexity in how those prices are negotiated and sort of Byzantine and not exactly clear to the customer or even to those who oversee healthcare. Joining us from Cal State Fullerton, professor, assistant professor of public health, Shayna Charles. Professor, good to have you with us again.
Thank you for having me.
So what are the advantages of making these hidden deals public so that everybody knows, you know, what their insurance company is actually, what the negotiated rate is for a procedure?
Well, this is really kind of a classic economic idea and a classic Republican belief that for free markets, you need to have transparency in prices. That's the way free markets work. The best is that people who are actually buying products know what it is they're paying for and know how much other people are paying. Now, we haven't had that in healthcare. The Affordable Care Act did make premiums at the person level transparent. That's now reported to the IRS every year. But we really don't know a lot about the prices on the delivery system side. And so having this kind of transparency would be able to allow, you know, not just people who are actually getting health care as consumers, but even like the federal government for Medicare as an insurance company that is trying to compete with other companies to know whether or not they're getting the best prices available.
Could this have an unintended consequences when it's seen how much more private insurers pay for a procedure than the federal government pays, for example, that potentially drives down those negotiated prices when it's transparent, and then that puts more pressure on the federal government to raise reimbursement for Medicare and Medicaid services?
Well, that's a potential outcome, but I actually think it might go more the other way. By law, Medicare is supposed to be paying the lowest prices, but the question is that actually happening? I mean, we just heard in the news report about a Medicare fraud case that was settled with Sutter Health in Sacramento. So that's an open question, and there is some reporting out there and some studies that have shown that private insurers are paying less than they should be. They're already paying very close to or at Medicare rates if they're going legally, and really it's the uninsured that are bearing the highest possible costs, or people that don't have large group coverage, you know, that are buying kind of more on the individual market. So, you know, we'll have to see whether or not this rule even goes through. Right now it's a proposed regulation and it's getting a lot of pushback, but I think more transparency on this would be good as an outcome, you know, for the public at large.
And I don't know how many of us there are that are on high deductible plans, but I'm one of those who's, I'm price sensitive because I got a high deductible. So I do want to know the price, you know, going in, because I'm going to absorb it up to my deductible. And I wonder, for people like us, would this allow a greater ability to do that comparison shopping?
Hopefully. I think that is the end goal. You know, the economic good here is that when people know what it is they're paying for and also know what competitors are charging, that they'll be able to make the best possible choice for them based on both cost and quality. So it still remains to be seen whether or not this is actually going to happen. But I think if we are going to have high deductible plans that put people like you on the hook, and thank you for sharing that, Larry, then people do need to know, what it is they're on the hook for and whether or not they could be getting a better deal with a different provider.
Also with us is Matt Fiedler, who's a fellow with the USC Brookings Schaefer Initiative for Health Policy. His research looks at a wide range of healthcare economics and healthcare policy. Mr. Fiedler, thank you very much for being with us. What do you think of these proposals for transparency on both health insurance reimbursements and on hospital charges?
So I don't think we know for sure what the effects of these types of proposals would be. The administration, I think as Shana spoke to well, hopes that this change will encourage consumers to shop around for lower price services, and that will also put pressure on providers of healthcare services to price more competitively. I think the research we have, where employers have tried things like this before, or states have tried things like this before, suggests that at least for certain services, some of that will happen. What I think we don't know is, if you do this across a whole breadth of services and you do this nationwide, how large the effects would be. I think the existing evidence suggests that the effects on prices people pay would be relatively modest in the aggregate, but I think there's uncertainty about that. There are also some potential for unintended consequences here. So I think there are stories you can tell where giving providers, doctors or hospitals, better information on the prices their competitors have been able to negotiate can sometimes allow doctors and hospitals to secure higher prices than they secure today. So I think my best guess would be that the sort of greater transparency and greater price shopping leads to some downward pressure on prices on net, but that's not completely guaranteed.
So some places, like you're saying, with doctors' reimbursements, if you got a doc who finds out that her competitor is, making more in reimbursement, she's going to go back and negotiate harder?
Exactly. Or you could have situations where, and I think this is most plausible in hospital markets where you may only have a couple competitors, where the hospitals would be happy to agree to keep prices high, and they can't do that explicitly, but if their prices are now public, they may be able to do that sort of implicitly.
We're talking with Matt Fiedler of USC Brookings Schaefer, Shana Charles of Cal State Fullerton. You might recall, because she's been with us over the years many times on Air Talk, she directed UCLA's Health Insurance Studies program at the Center for Health Policy Research. If you have questions about how this would play out, this transparency proposal, we're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722. Shana, do you know if physicians generally support this or not?
Well, we're seeing some pushback already from some of the trade organizations, the health insurance plan trade organization. I'm not sure about the physician trade organization, but I do know that there's some pushback in terms of they're already threatening lawsuits. So the question is, on individual doctors and providers, what they would support. But with this regulation only covering hospitals, it's kind of a different animal. I do want to also point out one thing. This kind of macro level information, I think, actually is probably going to be most helpful, not to necessarily individual people shopping like yourself, but more to, people that are in charge of big plans like Medicare, Medicaid, to be able to kind of negotiate what they're going to pay at the macro level.
All right. Matt, back to you. What's your sense of how this would affect physicians, and would this largely benefit them in their negotiations?
Again, I think my best guess is that the overall effects on prices, including for physicians, would be fairly small. I do think there's a question, and I think, again, as Shana alluded to, is sort of some of the broader macro impacts of some of these types of proposals. It's hard for researchers and policymakers and others to study what prices we're actually paying for healthcare services and private insurance markets today. And so one of the outcomes of this type of proposal, one could be that purchasers drive harder armed with this information. But another possibility is that this would drive more attention to the fact that healthcare prices in private insurance markets are probably higher than they need to be to ensure that patients receive care of adequate quality, and that could help catalyze policy changes that would reduce prices in other ways.
What about any costs that hospitals particularly would incur? Matt, would this be something that would be more costly to comply with this than currently, where they don't have to share this?
Yeah, I mean, I think we don't want to overstate the size of the compliance costs for hospitals, but, you know, compiling their contracts with every insurer they work with, and for every individual plan for every individual insurer they work with, would create some administrative costs. And presumably that is part of the reason you're seeing pushback from hospitals. I suspect most of the pushback from hospitals is that they're maybe a bit more worried than I am that this type of proposal would ultimately put pressure on the actual prices they receive, either because consumers would shop around or because it would get policymakers to take additional action.
And do you think consumers would shop around for everything, including even primary care physicians, or do you think this would be more shopping for elective, you know, surgeries or procedures?
So I think we don't have perfect evidence on how these types of proposals have worked in the past. I think we have some hints from our existing evidence that shopping is most likely for imaging and for various types of diagnostic tests, where patients might not care quite as much precisely who is delivering that service. For surgeries or for various types of hospital care or even for primary care, you could believe that patients don't weigh price quite as heavily in making a decision, and so this type of information wouldn't be quite as useful to them.
I wonder, Shana Charles, though, what the effect would be. You've got a primary care doc who refers the patient to a specialist. Patients know that, you know, specialists, you're looking at higher charges there. Are they necessarily going to go to the referred specialist, or are they going to shop around and, you know, if information is public, find one who's lower cost?
Well, so the interesting thing is that the way that you're kind of framing this is thinking about that everybody has the ability to do that in terms of their coverage. If you're in a Kaiser system, it's already a closed loop. If you're in an HMO or what's called an EPO, which is a little bit more restrictive than a PPO, you are restricted only to the doctors in network, and anything out of network is completely not covered at all. So, you know, whether or not, depending on what kind of plan you have, that's going to dictate the price sensitivity that you're going to have to these other things. If you're in a Kaiser system and your copays are already set and specialists are charged to you at zero because they're within the network and they're referred and all the tests are also included, then, you know, there's not going to be any price sensitivity on that whatsoever.
But if you are someone who's in, let's say, a PPO where you can shop among physicians that are in that network, then potentially you'd take their pricing into account, I would think.
Sure. And I think it also matters whether or not you're in a situation that's urgent. It also matters whether or not for your own health status, if you have, you know, kind of the energy to be able to do that. People find healthcare to be a confusing landscape to begin with. And so you have to have some level of self-efficacy to do that, which is why I'm thinking that this greater information is going to be, you know, somewhat helpful to people who, you know, have that ability to do that. But really, it's going to be more helpful in the end to kind of the macro level policymaker. And interestingly to me, it actually might be more helpful in the end for people that are proposing something like a Medicare for all system. You know, if you have complete transparency on the delivery side, that really helps when you're thinking about single payer and how that's going to be funded.
Shana Charles, I mean, the other issue is too, not just sort of what the price is that a hospital or physician charge, but patients need to find out what their actual cost is going to be if they are insured. What is their potential share of that going to be? And it seems like you still have to go back to your insurance company to get what your net cost is.
Yeah, so, you know, the insurance company coverage piece is another complicated portion. You might think you have something as easy as an 80%, 20% split. But it actually might be much more complicated than that, thinking about which providers are in network and which services are actually covered under that 80-20, and then the usual and customary language that gets in there and gets complicated. I think your use of the word Byzantine in the beginning is pretty accurate, which is why I think Matt is rightly saying it's very hard to predict what these outcomes are going to be, although we just know, from economic theory, that more transparency usually does lead to more price sensitivity.
Thank you both so much for being with us. That's Professor Shayna Charles of Cal State Fullerton. She is Assistant Professor of Public Health. And our thanks as well to Matt Fiedler with the USC Brookings Schaefer Initiative for Health Policy. It's Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. Coming up, it's the next phase in the Purple Project for Democracy, a nationwide series. Journalism organizations are collaborating on the project. Our take is going to be on freedom of speech as outlined in the First Amendment. We'll be back in just 1 minute.